My message today is entitled The Litmus Test. At the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for his stand against Hitler. And a group of Christians who believed that Hitler was the Antichrist asked Bonhoeffer, "Why do you expose yourself to danger? Jesus is going to return any day and all your work and suffering will be for nothing." And Bonhoeffer replied, "If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. I must continue until the struggle is finished." From our reading today, the final verse, "As for you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of bringing good news, fully do the work of your ministry." I think that the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the verse from 2 Timothy have a lot to tell us about who we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to do as people who are striving to follow the teachings of Jesus. The verse is particularly interesting as Presbyterians, that last word, ministry, is actually the Greek word diakona, which is where we actually get the word deacon from, which of course is part of the duties of those who are elected as elders in our church. Now, Bonhoeffer shows us what that kind of following, that kind of Christian leadership looks like. If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor, but today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it's finished. And then 2 Timothy tells us that in all things we are to do the work of bringing good news until our work is finished. What we will find is that while all of that sounds wonderful and even somewhat inspiring, Putting that kind of thing into action isn't that simple, in part because we get a little too easily confused about what following looks like. Our text says, proclaim the message. Well, okay, what message? All you have to do is flip through the TV channels on any given Sunday morning to see that there is some disparity in exactly what the message happens to be. The text also says that the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears. I love that line. Have itching ears. Great. But again, what is sound doctrine? And what is doctrine that should be avoided at all costs? Most devout Christians, not surprisingly, believe that their particular way of understanding Christianity is, of course, the right way, sound doctrine. But when denominations are splitting in half over theological questions and people are leaving congregations over something that the minister or a Sunday school teacher said, well, we can't all be right if we all agree so strongly, even if we think we are. What we need is some sort of a litmus test. A simple way of evaluating whether or not we are following the teachings of Jesus, or if, as the text suggests, will happen to some people, we're following teachers who suit our own desires. So after being here with you at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant for over a year, it should be no surprise to most folks that one of my personal heroes is Martin Luther King. The day before he died, in his last sermon, Dr. King said, "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. But I'm not concerned with that just now. I just want to do God's will." In his statement rings echoes of Bonhoeffer's, "If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. I must continue my struggle until it is finished." And it includes echoes of today's 2 Timothy. "As for you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of bringing good news fully to the work of your ministry. In his last sermon, besides making the statement that the most important thing in his life, including his own actual life, is doing God's will, in his last sermon, Dr. King revisits the story that Jesus told when he was trying to teach us about doing God's will, the Good Samaritan. And in it, Dr. King gives those who pass the hurt man by sort of the benefit of the doubt, pointing out that this was a particular stretch of road that was known to be very dangerous, and they may have actually feared for their own lives. He imagined them asking the question, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? Then Dr. King cuts to the heart of the story and to the heart of this message for that matter. He said that they asked the wrong question. They asked, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Samaritan, he said, asked the right question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? That's the question that love asks. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? It's the question that caused Abraham to plead with God for the lives of the people of Sodom. It's the question that led Daniel to face down a giant. It's the question that led prophets to literally risk their lives in order to point people to a better way. It's the question that led Jesus to the cross. No greater love has this than anyone that they lay down their life for their friends. It is the question of love. And that is your litmus test. How do we follow? How do we know if we're proclaiming the right message, sound doctrine? How do we know if we're doing God's will? We ask the question of love. Does the teaching lead to greater love? Does the action not only come from a place of love, but result in the person knowing that they are loved? Love is the litmus test. And don't fall prey to the temptation to say that it's naive to think that we can love everyone, even our enemies. It's not naive. It is Christian. Don't fall prey to the temptation to say that it is naive to be forgiving to those who hurt you. It is not naive. It is Christian. Do not fall prey to the temptation to say that it is naive to make sure that the basic needs of everyone are met, particularly the least of these. It is not naive. It is love. It is Christian. Following, proclaiming the right message, doing God's will, it means matching our weekdays with our Sundays. Following, proclaiming the right message, doing God's will, means being willing to risk loving your enemy. It means when faced with someone in need, asking the question, if not me, who? If not now, when? It means always answering the question with love. In accepting his Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. King had this to say about love. When I speak of love, I'm not speaking of some sentimental and weak response which is little more than emotional bosh. I'm speaking of that force which all of the great religions have seen as the supreme unifying principle of life. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door which leads to the ultimate reality. This Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist belief about ultimate reality is beautifully, he said, summed up in the first epistle of St. John. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Love is the litmus test. Love of God and neighbor is sound doctrine. In fact, according to Jesus, it's the sum of all doctrine. Love God, love your neighbor, and as we learn in the Good Samaritan, anyone is your neighbor. So, for those of us trying to sort out how to follow the teachings of Jesus, I give us this charge. Love. Measure the success of your discipleship in units of love. Let your compass, your companion, and your full-time commitment be love. Hold it with reckless abandon. Let it be your unifying principle in life. Let it be your first and last word. Let your every action be filled with it. Let love be your litmus test in all things.